This is a production of Cornell University.
Hi, everyone. It is 4:48, so we're going to get started. Can I get a count on how many members we have here? Adele Williams, Amari Lampert, Annette Lieberman, Annalie Anoye,
here.
Claire Templeman, Claudia Leone, Deepak Ilongo, Dylan Eisman, Duncan Cady, Esther Bentalila,
hello,
Everest Yan, Henry Wade, Genevieve Bansaw, John Young, Joseph Mullen, Kate Santa Cruz, Krenal Thacker, Lucas Smith, Manaya Lewis, Morgan Baker, Nicole Overton, Nikki Reddy, Kane Gronmeyer, Valeria Valencia, Yananawi Logan. I have 22 members present.
Perfect, thank you. So the time is 4:50. We have, sorry, can you repeat that? I missed it, 23? 22. We have 22 members present. I am officially calling this meeting to order. So now I'm going to start with the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayogana Cayuga Nation. The Gayogana are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayogana dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of the Gayogana people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Okay, so now I'm going to ask for any late additions to the agenda. Okay, do we have any dissent to that? Perfect, so we're going to add those to the bottom of our agenda. Okay, now we are going to go into, Representative Smith.
I guess I know we have a lot now on the agenda, but I was going to make a motion to add Resolution 29, amending the Student Assembly Standing Rules to establish the consent agenda. Amending the Student Assembly Standing Rules to establish the consent agenda. You guys will like it. It's cool.
Okay, we have a second. Do we have any dissent to that? Okay, so that's 29. Okay, so now we're going to move into an approval of minutes. Do we have any amendments to the minutes? Representative Gromeyer? Can you speak into the mic or turn it on? It's not on.
Test.
Hey everyone, there's like a lot of side talk right now. When we're in session, you should not be talking.
Okay, there we go, perfect. I'd like to amend section 5 G and just get scratch the "are any of their help needed tonight," which I assume is just a note.
Can you repeat that?
Section 5G. And there's the, are any of their help needed tonight? I assumed it was a note from the secretary.
Okay, so you'd like to scratch that line?
It's, no, not the whole line. Just like, I think there was notes left over, you know, for like clearance sake, or I don't know. Let me just remove it.
Okay. Any Representative Gleiberman?
Yes.
Okay. So do we have a second to that? Any dissent? Amazing. Anything else? Representative Smith?
Yeah, so two corrections for the agenda. First, spelling of Representative White's name. Let's see, that is section 5. H6, it's F-E-I-T, so I think there's two cases where we'll want to fix that to F-E-I-T instead of F-I-E-T. And the second one is just up the page, just above H, the motion to amend line 56 to strike speaking on behalf of the student body. The motion was to strike the majority, so we want to keep that speaking on behalf of the student body. To strike majority.
Okay, do we have a second to that? Okay, any dissent? Amazing. Any other additions? Representative Overton?
I couldn't quite hear Representative Sisley. I have mentioned this already, but there's an additional, I think, misspelling of Representative Fite's name. No, like, it's a different one, F-I-E-F. Did we get that one already? Okay. It's on, let's see, it's on line 10 of section 6B, and then there's like subsection 10. Yeah. It says J5 voice support for the changes as each of the constituencies have their own needs and an equitable distribution will allow for much representation as possible. Yeah, it should be, I think it's,
do we have a second to that? Amazing. Any other additions or corrections? Representative Jang.
For part six, new business, six, where I asked about the original support. That one is more of a question. So number two, you said John Jang stated that Kerala originally support halftime, which is true. But his action have made Kerala no longer support them. So it's more of a clarification question. And then Representative Williams stated that's correct.
Point of privilege, it is so hard to hear right now. I have no idea what you just said.
Oh, okay. So remember last time I asked a clarification question. So whether the halftown was no longer supported because of his action? And then you clarify it, yes, right? So that's the process that went last time. But the wording here is a bit confusing. So for number two is that I asked a question and then you clarified it rather than I just state a statement and then clarify it. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, do we have a second to that? Okay, amazing. Any other corrections or additions? Representative Katie?
In section H, subsection, that'd be 11, point two, subsection B, it says DC, make it as broad as possible. I think that might supposed to be a reference to myself, though I cannot verify that. So motion, I guess, to change DC to, you know, my D.CADY.
Do we have a second? Okay, are we good?
Can I just request something?
No.
Just about the sound, that's all. What? There's no. Two mics.
Raise your placard. Okay, Representative Williams.
Just can you take bring one of those mics over here? So that
wait,
I can hear
it works now. Okay, it wasn't working before, so we will pass that one down. All good.
6 minutes. Representative Katie?
Second.
Okay. Any dissent to that? Amazing. Okay, now I am going to hand it on over to VP Bonza to talk about open mic time.
And as for non-SA members, if you have any announcements or anything to say, please just step forward and use the mic in front of the table right there. Again, it's for, yep, go ahead, Patrick. DOE Miller.
Hello, there we go. Just really quick.
Is that it? Anyone else? Okay, I'll close open microphone now. Thank you.
Amazing. So now I am here for announcements and reports. Representative Baker.
Hello. According to the SA Charter, the VP Finance has to announce before each byline hearing date the organizations that will be coming into the Appropriations Committee, as well as the time, date, and location. So this Monday, we will be having the Student Assembly, the Collegiate Readership Program, and the Environmental Collaborative, ECO. And that will be at 5:15 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. in 145 McGraw Hall.
Okay, do we have any other announcements and reports? Representative Smith?
I guess this was just something that seemed to have come up a little bit in this past week after the co-chairs for committees and things were announced. There seems to be some confusion about the process and things like that. And it seems like some more things that need to be resolved. So just, I guess, a note for the VP of Internal Operations that keep us all posted on how the committee stuff is going.
Representative Jang.
All right, thank you. Just to follow Representative Smith's point, so for example, for the past weeks, the chair elections, sometimes the election rules is a little bit confusing, especially for the new members like me who newly joined the SA. So some of the election rules, maybe next time and in future process, could be announced more clearly in this way that some of us won't be confused. And also thank you for VP Mullum about sending me messages, things like that. So maybe next time, I think we should have a more clear process announcing to all the SA members, also non-SA members, because not everybody has previous experience in the SA and the elections like that. I also follow the President's point about the processing. Thank you.
Representative Wade?
This is just more of a point of personal privilege, but it's really hard to hear with static coming from like that general area. So where is that? I don't know if that where the static noise is coming from, but if there's like a way we can try it. It's almost quite the opposite.
Right, two announcements. So number one is PSAC, which is the Public Safety Advisory Committee, is having their open sessions coming this upcoming week. One of them is Tuesday at noon. The other one is Wednesday at 4:30. Both of them will be in Willard State Hall. You all received the update from PSAC, I believe, around July or August, talking about what they had been working on for the year. A lot of it has to do with
The hissing sound is from the thermostat, so there's really nothing that can be done about that. But just a reminder, please try and speak into the microphone, because then our audio can pick that up as well on the
So just make sure if you're interested, please attend. Also tell your constituents to attend. It's really important that they get your feedback, especially on the report that came out. Number two is we have UHRP applications closed Monday. So making sure that you're telling your friends, telling your constituents about those applications. We know that we had them speak to us, I believe it was 2 SA meetings ago. But yeah, those are two from me. Any other announcements or reports? Okay. Next, we will move on to initiatives, presentations, and forums. Okay, and now we are on business of the day. I actually don't know if I can do this. I know we're supposed to be staffing committees, but I realize that we have a pretty large gallery right now. I was wondering if you guys would feel comfortable with us doing staffing committees towards the end of our agenda today. Representative Katie?
We need to motion to amend the agenda for that. Then I motion we move staffing of committees to the end of the agenda after new business.
Any dissent to that?
Typically, we do vote staffing committees in executive session as well, so you might also want to alter the motion on the floor to go into executive session following the conclusion of the meeting, and then we can let everybody go.
Okay. That means we are now in new business. The first resolution we have on the floor is resolution number 24, dissolving the City and Local Affairs Committee. Representatives, you can come and talk about your resolution.
Dissolving the City and Local Affairs Committee. I know when I presented this to exec, I kind of shared that it was somewhat bittersweet. So my involvement and time on the City and Local Affairs Committee has been a big part of my Cornell experience and certainly student assembly experience. But nonetheless, this resolution is just kind of recognizing that since we formed the Office of Student Government Relations, which has a local relations arm, the need to have a City and Local Affairs Committee has kind of dissipated over the past couple of semesters. Most of the work that was traditionally done by the City and Local Affairs Committee has been absorbed by the Office of Student Government Relations and their local relations team. So with that said, in the hopes of avoiding down the line as an assembly issues where we have two separate people running two separate committees that could be doing the same thing, having the same meetings, and kind of causing some disconnect. If we disband one of them, it simplifies our advocacy efforts as an assembly. I guess speaking to the resolve clauses, just to make it clear, so the first one, it's just kind of removing a clause from the job description for the Vice President of External Affairs. In the past, they've overseen the City and Local Affairs Committee, which is an exception from most other committees, which are overseen by internal operations, and then striking the whole entire committee clause from our review committees. The last clause added on there is just stating that anyone who's applied for the City and Local Affairs Committee for this cycle, for fall 2021, will hang on to those, or those applications won't just like disappear. And they can be forwarded on to the Office of Student Government Relations, and then they can do what they want to do with them at their discretion. Another thing to add, I guess, I know that came up at exec was after discussions was some concern about one of the things that has been different from the City and Local Affairs and Office of Student Government Relations is how we interact with the nonprofits and less government type of stuff in Ithaca and the surrounding community. which city and local affairs did more so than the government side of things. There was some talk about adding some language into this. I decided not to go that route as I asked the Office of Student Government Relations to consider in their advocacy agenda that they're going to present to us here before the end of the fall semester to include at the local level a provision focused on non-governmental affairs and relations in the community. So that's how we're addressing that side of things. And with that, I think I've presented.
Perfect. I'll now open it up to questions and debate. Representative Lieberman.
Motion table.
Do you have any dissent? Representative Katie.
I'm just curious why. Thank you.
Do we have a second to that? Oh, we had a
table by unanimous consent.
Second. Do we have any dissent to that? Perfect. Your resolution is tabled by unanimous consent. Thank you, Representative Smith. Okay. Now we have resolution number 25. The co-sponsors of this resolution can now discuss the resolution.
So this is resolution 25, defending Haitian students and dedicating further resources to programs helping Haiti. And I'm actually not going to talk. I'm going to pass the mic over to Stanley to talk about it.
Thank you, Joseph. Hey, everyone. I'm Stanley Celestin, and I'm originally from Haiti. I moved here when I was six to the city of Miami, Florida, and I went to the University of Florida for undergrad. And now I'm at Cornell pursuing a PhD in computer science. So for this moment that I have to speak to you all, I'll cover three topics. The first, I wanna give a bit of background on the history of Haiti to give context to the issues that we have today. And secondly, I wanna share some thoughts about what's going on the US-Mexico border in Texas. And third, I'll have some suggestions for the Cornell community. So many of you probably know about Haiti from the earthquake in 2010. It was really bad, 200,000 people died. And I think it might be higher than that. So a bit about history with Haiti. So Haiti was founded in 1804 as the second free republic in the Western Hemisphere after the United States of America. So our independence was actually the first successful slave revolt in the world in the modern times. And that was pretty big. But as you can imagine, at that time, our world was still struggling with slavery. So we had some issues regarding that. One, president of the US then, Thomas Jefferson, did not recognize Haiti as a new nation. And as a result, the US placed a trade embargo on Haiti. And additionally, the French government required that Haiti pay back $150 million of indemnity to France for property loss. And the reason why I'm sharing this is these two major things kind of prevented economic development in the country of Haiti. And moving forward to the 1900s, the U.S. actually occupied Haiti, and during that occupation, the U.S. actually made forcibly changed the constitution of Haiti to allow foreigners to purchase land. And that was a huge thing and change, because before then, no foreigners could purchase land in Haiti. And that allowed for ways for a bit of neo-colonialism to still affect Haiti. So because of that, there was a strong inspiration for Black nationalism in Haiti. And because of that movement, it it created support for a few future dictators by the name of François Duvalier and also Jean-Claude Duvalier, the son of François Duvalier. So their reign was from the late 50s all the way until 1986 when there was an uprising. And since then, since 1986, it's been a mixture of corruption in government, natural disasters, and many other things that we can talk about. So throughout the recent history in Haiti, the U.S. was really a place for refuge for a lot of people in Haiti and people seeking an escape from human rights issues, political turmoil and persecution, and also just simply people who want a better life. And I think for that same reason is the reason why my father moved to the U.S. in the 80s to really support my family. And he moved us all here successfully in the 2000s. And it's because of this opportunity for my family to be here that I have this moment to speak to you all and also be a part of the Cornell community. So some of my thoughts on the border issue. So some background as to where these individuals are coming from. A majority of the individuals on the U.S.-Mexico border are not coming directly from Haiti. A lot of them are actually in transition from other Latin American countries like Guatemala, Brazil, and Chile. And because of the recent issues that happened in Haiti, they thought it was an opportunistic time, you know, maybe to come to the land of the free. So some thoughts that I have are gonna be categorized in two sections. Immigration policy and immigration enforcement. I think it's important to separate the two. So when it comes to policy, I think a group of Haitian people that we want to focus on is asylum seekers, which are people who are wanting to get away from Haiti to be protected from political persecution and the effects that can have on them and their families. And also, we have people who are just searching for a better life. With the recent cold-blooded assassination of the head of state, Jovenel Moïse, and the earthquake that just happened, again, it's really decreased the conditions in Haiti, and in some places, it's not really sufficient to support their livelihood. So a lot of these individuals, it's almost necessary to find any option out. So regarding immigration enforcement, I think regardless of what your viewpoint is or will be on immigration policy, I think any inhumane treatment of people just immigrating should never be supported. And on the U.S.-Texas, the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas, we've seen reports of like inadequate hygiene support and shelter and due process for the immigration system for the Haitians that are detained. And more recently, there were some alarming images of these Border Patrol members using horses and whips that were designed to mainly control the horses were being in the images, like at least we could perceive that they were being used to control the Haitian people. And it really created a backlash in our nation. And the reason why is these kinds of images are very triggering for people who are ancestors of slaves. It's almost a direct image, a modern day image. So I think it was a moment that brought to light some of these issues that I've kind of just shared. So I want to say again, regardless of what policy that you support, I think any kind of mistreatment or inhumane actions towards the Haitian people should definitely not be supported. So my suggestions, I have a few. And the first one I think is for Cornell and the greater Cornell community to really support and advocate for immigration policies that support the asylum seekers, for support and advocacy for immigration policies that protect temporary protective status seekers, and also for immigration policies that support and advocate for enforcement that treats individuals with decency. And I think something that Cornell can do for us Haitian students or Haitian descent and other immigrants of the United States is really to send out a message to the community to really support us in this moment. And lastly, a last suggestion I have is that Cornell can really create programs that allow for undergraduate students in Haiti maybe to come and experience some of the benefits that we have here, like the global international space when it comes to developing nations, so that way we can help inspire and share ideas with leaders in Haiti. And the last thing I wanna say is like, I want a lot of these suggestions to become true, but these suggestions won't work out if they're not sustainable. So I want to highlight the fact that for decades, a lot of the aid that's been sent to countries like Haiti are just temporary solutions and create a need and dependency on foreign aid. So I'd love to see Cornell advocate and support aid that is one, helping and creating a future for nations like Haiti to really prosper on their own. So the U.S. history with Haiti is pretty long, evidently. So it's almost necessary that we, as U.S. citizens, support our neighbors, and even especially the neighbors that we've had some, not necessarily the best history with. Thank you for listening to me. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them.
Representative Bonta.
Thank you so much for that incredibly insightful presentation. I really appreciate it. I just have a quick clarifying question for Representative Mullen, since you wrote the resolution. When we first spoke about this on the exec board, you said it might change based on you talking to the Haitian Student Association. And I'm wondering if there are any updates with that to make this resolution more robust. Have you heard back? And what changes would you like to make to the resolution to make it better?
Yeah, I spoke to the Cornell Caribbean Students Association, and they actually said the resolution as such was fine. They sponsored it. I was gonna add sponsors at the end, but I can add them now, if that's preferable. The Cornell Caribbean Students Association, Pan-African Students Association, and then two professors in the Caribbean Studies or in Latin American Caribbean Studies, Professor Judith Byfield and Professor Ernesto Batti.
Is that an amendment?
That's an amendment.
And we have a second. Do we have any dissent to that? Perfect, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Representative Lewis.
This isn't a question, but I wanted to like personally commend this resolution. My dad is from Haiti, and so we've been following like all of this news, like on a familial level, but it would really mean a lot to be able to pass this. And I mean, I was there when my dad was able to get his citizenship, and I know that it's very hard for other people because the process to becoming a citizen here isn't very easy. It's full of like red tape and deterrence to keep people from coming here, basically. But yeah, it really means a lot to see this resolution in the agenda for today, and I just wanted to thank you guys for putting it together.
Thank you. Representative Zhang.
And I just want to make a reminder that everyone, please speak into the microphone, and if you can speak slowly into the microphone, that's really helpful. A lot of people can't hear in here.
First of all, thank you very much, you two, for bringing up so personal story. So first of all, my heart and minds go to you guys and the people of Haiti. I just have a few questions. So I understand that recently I saw the news that the president was being assassinated, right? And that also probably contributed a lot with the refugee crisis that the suffering the Haitian people is currently experienced. And also you mentioned about the previous neo-colonialist actions by the Western nations against Haiti. Am I correct?
Can you state the last part again?
And you mentioned previously about the intervention of neocolonialism against Haiti. by a lot of Western power. Am I correct? Is that what you previously mentioned?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, great, thank you very much. So I wonder, can we motion to amend the, because the last party says, the student assembly urged Cornell to strongly condemn the deportation policy against Haitian by the Biden administration. I wonder, can we motion to amend adding by saying, the student assembly urges Cornell and strongly condemn the deportation policy against Haitians and the U.S. foreign colonialist interventionist policy by the Biden administration. So motion to amend.
Yeah, I'll motion to amend and add what you said.
Do we have a second? Okay, I would highly smile upon a motion to vote. Representative Smith?
Not a motion vote, sorry. Thing I would say, so this is, I guess, maybe more for Representative Mullen. Resolution 36 and 37 from the last academic year. I think that as an assembly, we might be served taking that up again. I think President Pollack might have played politics on us, right, and let the assembly year expire. And so I don't think she technically has to respond to it at this point, right? She's responding to resolutions that we passed this semester. So it's unlikely she's going to get back to those. So I'd urge that we reconsider them in the future.
Were you asking for an amendment or just urging the, I agree with you.
Oh, so there was no amendment on the floor? Okay. Representative Yango? Yango?
South Indian name.
Oh, no, but I want to say it right. Can you tell me how to pronounce it?
My last name is Alonso.
Alonso?
First, right off the bat, Stanley. Stanley, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. I commend your dedication to this. Thank you for coming here, taking the time out of your day to talk to us about this. However, Joe, because it is your name on the resolution, I guess my question is going to be directed to you. Sort of on the back of what VP Bonta asked you, I just want a clear answer on this. Because I feel like you have spent most of the week ducking this question from a lot of us. Just a clear yes or no answer. Did you consult with the Haitian Students Association on this? And did they okay this?
So to my knowledge, the Haitian Students Association isn't active. I emailed Instagram DMs, but I didn't hear back from them. But I did hear and did get direct approval from the Cornell Caribbean Students Association. Yeah,
so when I came to Cornell, I wanted to join a Haitian Student Association because I had a pretty big one at the University of Florida. To my sadness, the one here is pretty not functional at all. Like, I posted stuff in there like Happy Haitian Flag Day and no one responded. So I think our group here is pretty dormant. But a lot of the Haitian students are functioning through the Caribbean Student Organization. So I think at least that's where I've gotten more engagement.
I have a quick amendment change. So I realized that the sponsors at the top of the resolution aren't listed at the end of the resolution. So just a quick amendment change. I'd smile upon someone motioning to make that amendment. Representative Templeman. Any dissent to that? Amazing. Representative Eisman. Can we have you speak into the microphone?
First of all, thank you for presenting and sharing your story. Off of Lucas's point, I would like to motion to amend to strike lines 22 and 23. That involves resolution 36 and 37 from following year, since I was not present for that year and would like to vote for this with confidence knowing it's not in there.
A second? Oh, there was no second. Okay, second. Do we have a dissent? Okay, dissent. You can voice your dissent. Representative Williams, would you like to voice your dissent? And also, no side talk. Sorry, can I retract that? I got confused.
I would like to motion to vote that. To retract my dissent.
No, so you retract your dissent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay with it. With striking the lines, yeah.
Okay, so we're in voting now? Okay, we are voting. Yes. So we're voting on the amendment. Yeah. We're in. Oh, wait. Okay, we have no dissent. Correct? She retracted her dissent? Okay, perfect. So that amendment. Motion to vote.
Second.
Okay, so can I have all those in? Was that just a motion to vote or a motion to vote? Okay. Do you have any motion to vote? Okay, can I have all those in favor of this resolution, please raise your card. We did the amendment. Okay, perfect. In a vote of 21-0-1, your resolution passes. Congratulations. Okay, resolution 26 is now on the floor. The co-sponsors of resolution 26 can now take the table. Okay, you can now take the floor.
Is this thing on? Oh, perfect, I can hear it. Hey everyone, so first, just go over a little bit of overview of what exactly this is. This is a special funding request from CIPEC, which is the Cornell Intellectual Property and I believe Ethics Club? Yep, I always forget the acronyms. But they are doing a case competition on accessibility at the Cornell campus. Just before we get into going through the actual nitty-gritty of it, I just want to clarify just like kind of the intention of this. So I've been in long communication with CIPEC really ever since I was first became a member of the SA. And I've always been really impressed, not just by their professionalism, but their enthusiasm. They are really a group of Cornell students committed to trying to find ways to better this campus. You know, I think it's very similar of a lot of the intentions of SA members. We are looking for things like resolutions and governing. They're looking towards things like entrepreneurship and intellectual property. In communication with them, I learned more about this accessibility competition, which is focused on finding ways to make Cornell more accessible, specifically with students with disabilities. It's part of the reason they reached out to me. And to me, it really embodied the commitment to any person, any study that I think most Cornellians, this whole university's founding is really based on. I was really impressed by their efforts to try and have an open dialogue about what is accessible on campus, but do it in a way that would look towards creating real solutions and real change. That's kind of the basis understanding of this competition. It's really to find creative leadership and entrepreneur aspects of the Cornell community from our peers, and see how it can help students with disabilities make this campus more accessible. So the specifics of the nitty-gritty of that is a competition that they've been planning for quite some time now. So we're actually open it. And they've, after a lot of conversations with myself, Representative Baker, Representative Lieberman, about different aspects of working with this competition, they finally came to the conclusion that one of the best ways we can help them, at least right now, is through partially funding this competition. They've gotten funding from numerous sources. The essay kind of offers them one area to really put them over the edge and make sure this competition is done correctly, in which I'll turn over to any comments on that.
Thank you for that overview. So just a few more facts about this competition. So it's really open to all students with a structural and policy approach, so really encourage everyone you know to join in and participate in this. The competition takes place on September 24th, October 7th, October 15th, and finishes October 21st. It's a cash prize of $1,000 that goes to the winner. CIPEC has told us their advertising plan, which looks very solid. They've submitted their budget. So it's my hope that we approve this $697.61 expense for them so that this competition can move forward. Thank you.
Just to clarify too, the point of this competition is to create policies for physical infrastructure or anything in between for students with disabilities to help make Cornell more accessible. And it's all driven by students for students. So this is not just a competition where, you know, we're just hosting some big thing. It's to really bolster the Cornell community.
I'm gonna open this to any questions or comments. Representative Smith.
Yeah, I think this looks awesome. Question more on the finance side of things and not specifically about this project, but Representative Baker, if you could kind of tell us what is gonna be the amount that's in our special projects fund after this is taken out. And then side comment, I'd make the recommendation that future special projects, you include that as a line item, what the status of our special projects will be and maybe what percent, what percentage the special project is of that fund.
Of course, I will include that in future resolutions. We're gonna be at about 10,000 remaining.
Representative Eisman.
Hello, yes. Thank you for presenting. I think this is an incredible idea, and I was just wondering, following the competition, if you have any ideas, or I'm not too familiar with what's allowed, but in terms of implementing either the winner's ideas or other feasible ideas that we deem important to get student assembly to move those ideas forward, is there any kind of way or method that on our end we can help this after the competition ends?
I'm actually really happy you brought that up. That was something I was originally gonna mention when talking about this. That was really the crux of our conversation. They came to me and said, hey, look, we really wanna do this competition. It's gonna be looking at policies, it's gonna be looking at infrastructure, things that are directly tangible to the student assembly. The first part of that conversation was, hey, where do we go after this? But as the conversation kept going, it realized we could help them with funding, we could help them with advertising, we could help them with promotion and communication. That's kind of where this came about. The long-term goal is to stay in communication with them. In fact, myself, Representative Baker, and again, Representative Lieberman, have been in contact with multiple people in this organization about next steps afterwards the competition and figuring out how to help them now. So I think the ultimate goal, yeah, is to promote whatever comes out of this. I think this just wasn't mentioned in this resolution in the kind of idea that you don't want to preemptively say we're going to do whatever they do, because for all we know, they could say we go to the moon. You know, it's hard to predict that.
Representative Williams.
Yeah, hi guys. I just have a quick question. So where did you come to this number? It's very specific.
So this number came from the accumulation of all of their line items that they submitted requests for our funding for. So this is the exact amount that they need.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Lieberman.
I want to commend Representative Katie and Representative Baker on bringing this forward and with a project with such a robust budget, and I motion to approve by unanimous consent.
Do we have any dissent to that? Perfect. Thank you. Your resolution passes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Motion to amend the agenda to do resolution 28 before 27.
Any dissent to that? Okay.
Great, so this is a quick one. This is just codifying the content of the special projects funding application. I thought it would be in the standing rules, but it's not. So all this really does is just puts it in the standing rules for future VP for finances to look at and implement. So I include in the whereas clauses what the application currently states and has stated in the past, and then I also include what's asked for on the side. So all this does is just puts all that content into the standing rules. That's all.
Representative Lieberman?
Oh, not Lieberman. Wade, sorry, I cannot see.
Motion to pass via unanimous consent.
It would be a motion to table.
Standing rules can be passed day of.
Okay. Motion to vote. Unanimous consent. Second. Okay. Any dissent? Amazing. Congratulations, Representative.
Point of information, are we doing the charter bylaws or Office of Ethics first?
We had bylaws, charter, office of ethics.
Okay, thank you.
But we're doing 27 now. So I will pass over chairing direct VP Banta. So we have resolution number 27, which I'm hoping is an easy resolution. It is in support of the current interim policy 6.3. If you all don't know about policy 6.3 and why I'm involved, I'm pretty involved with Title IX on campus. I served on policy 6.4 last year, and now I'm involved with policy 6.3 on their stakeholder review. We are currently in an interim review period for policy 6.3. And the goal is to have every assembly basically voice their support for policy 6.3. The kind of goal and what policy 6.3, the interim policy, would do if it ends up being our permanent policy is prohibiting prohibiting romantic and sexual relationships between staff members and undergraduate students. We already have a similar policy that exists with student-faculty relationships, so this is just updating it on student staff. And that is basically it. You can read the resolution, it's pretty short. It's just in basically support of what the Title IX office is currently doing.
Thank you, President Nonge. Do we have any questions for, okay, Representative Smith?
So it's an interim policy now, and when would it transition or to a full policy?
Yeah, the goal is for it to be full policy in January. Right now it's under review, so it's going through the different assemblies. They're actually going to come speak to us next week to talk more in depth about the policy, but if you have any questions for me about that, I can answer them to my to the best of my capacity right now as well. But yeah.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Do you want to go again? Representative Wade?
I just kind of have a question behind the reasoning for the policy. So I know similarly for professors, it's kind of to remove that veil of power distance between the student and maybe the faculty member. For staff members, that roles might not be tangentially directly related for the students' like well-being on campus. What was the mindset for having this policy?
Yeah, so basically just like doing a review of the campus, they found out that a lot of these relationships created kind of unfair power dynamics and hierarchies. And just as a clarification, the way that this is being read is by your permanent and most precedent appointment on campus. So that doesn't mean that if you work in the dining hall or if you're a student worker in some other capacity, that prohibits you obviously from sexual relationships or romantic relationships. That's looking at what space you come into the campus and occupy. Representative Smith.
Yeah, so you said they're going to be presenting next week, so I'm not against this, but also you gave us really high-level overview, so might it be appropriate to consider tabling this and hear the presentation next week and then go ahead and vote on this?
Yeah, so the reason that we're doing it right now is they want to have like some precedent for student support. They're meeting with a lot of trustees as well as different assemblies, and they want to make sure that they know that students are behind this and are backing it. And everything that is written here is directly from their website, so I did not change anything. The Title IX office has also reviewed and looked over this resolution, and they sent me back feedback, so it is all their words.
Representative Eisman? Okay, Representative Lango?
Motion to pass by unanimous consent.
Okay, motion, is there a second? Okay, any dissent? Great, it passes. Thank you, President Nonge.
Thank you.
I believe we have the standing rules.
We have the bylaw.
Charter bylaw.
Okay, so, sorry, I thought that was for me. So I would like to ask the chair, since they're not in the packet, if everyone can, like, access box on their laptops.
Yeah, feel free to, like, pull out your devices if you need to access it. Representative Katie?
Should we go through the co-sponsors this again, or are we just going to do it with
Where you should find the documents?
No, I'm saying, are we going through them as the resolutions, or are we just going through them as changes in the standing rules?
As resolutions.
Okay, so then follow up to that. Should the co-sponsors then speak on this at all, or is this just we're just going to go through it and vote?
Co-sponsors?
Never mind.
Representative.
Where do we find it? Which box folder is it specifically?
You go to the box, you go to the 9th September.
We're doing bylaws first.
To the 9th?
Okay. 9th September, because that's when it was presented. It should be there. Thanks, Patrick. Representative Baker.
Topic 2 is the resolution to approve the charter. I'm going to motion to vote.
Does Representative Smith, is there a second? Do you retract your motion? Great, it's been retracted. Go ahead, President Nguyen.
Can you give me one second? I'd like to not find this for the life. Okay, so I know we discussed this last week. I can reintroduce if you'd like, or we can go straight into discussion.
Okay. Representative Smith, you want to say something? I thought you were going to be like, oh, let's move to discussion, or oh, let's vote. That's why you had this class.
I recommend we move into discussion.
Great, it's been a recommendation, I accept it. So let's move into that. Representative Smith?
Yeah, so I guess I'm not gonna reintroduce the recommendation that I made the last time we discussed this, but still gonna express, I guess, my hesitation with a seat for each of the three tri-council members. I'd hope, I guess, seeing as we're going to pass this with that in there, and you've expressed a lot of support for that side of things and having a seat for each one of them, that you're really gonna push them and challenge each of the tri-council representatives to have someone at our meetings participating, things like that. So that'd be my only thing, is just really challenge, and maybe as a whole, all of our ex officio positions, kind of keep them accountable to be as involved as they can be, so that we're not just throwing around terms which don't mean anything.
I completely agree, and I just want to like emphasize that this is not just for the sake of creating positions. I actually met with the president of IFC before this meeting today, who's actually really excited about this resolution and really wants the opportunity to send IFC members and was already kind of considering members to send as ex officios to our regular meetings. I think that this would prove positive.
Thank you, Representative Smith and President Nungue. Representative Baker.
Thank you. I want to express my support for the addition of these three seats. Just thinking about it, let's say I were a sophomore in Pan Health, then I get 1 year with an ex officio member to represent all of Pan Health on the student assembly. And it's just, what about all of the other 3 years that I'm at Cornell? Like, how are we going to have that direct representation and support and that voice on the student assembly to advocate for our needs during the other 3 years? We have to sit back and wait. So, and even if you're a freshman and you get it again senior year, you have a 2 year gap. So I just view this as a way for us to be more fair and welcoming for these communities.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Representative Gleiberman.
So I kind of want to echo what Representative Smith said. I am wholeheartedly in support of adding an ex officio seat for athletes, but to Representative Baker's point, I think, yeah, like, no matter where someone, whether it's, even if they're in Pan Health, the person from the Tri-Council is still representing them as a part of Greek life. It's not like they don't have any representation. It's like, if there was a, if we made ex officio teams for, like, every single athletic team, people are still representative. People are still represented in a student athlete ex officio, even if the person that's represented you maybe isn't like from the team you're on. I think the idea is, and I want to echo what Representative Smith said about how we have not seen anyone from the Tri-Council at any meetings this entire year. And there's not even anyone from any of the Tri-Council constituencies here speaking on behalf of this.
Thank you, Representative.
Can I respond?
Yeah, of course.
I would just like to reemphasize a point that I stated the last time we were discussing this, and the fact that the Tri-Council does represent the multicultural Greek organizations on campus, which do operate really differently, in my opinion, than IFC and Pan Health. I think it's really important to recognize that when we're going into this conversation, but again, I'm really like interested in hearing your opinions and thoughts on it. Concerns.
Also, Representative Katie.
I'd like to thank President Ananye for bringing this forward. Is this working? Sorry. I kind of wanted to reinstate a point I made on the 9th when we previously discussed this. Would you just kind of voicing support for this resolution, recognizing how the SA is committed to representing the student body? You know, I'm really happy we're having this conversation. We're objectively looking at this new position. But I'd highlight that a lot of the criticisms coming forward right now of the current, I don't want to call it an issue, but current criticisms of representation of ex officio Greek life representatives seems to be targeted at what could be one issue or one member. I don't want to speculate anything there. But I would highlight, though, that this is looking towards making the SA more representative of the student body, more inviting of student communities, and more inviting of members of this community who want to engage in policy and want to engage in change in this community and on this campus. So I would, you know, go back to kind of the discussion we were having last week, which is saying adding these positions gives Greek life a chance to not just have one voice that may or may not be showing up as an official member. If that's seriously the concern, one person not showing up, I'd say then invite more people, then say, come to our meetings, speak at our meetings, you can have a title, you can have a voice, and the SA can truly be a representation of the student body. And I, again, reaffirm point made very well of kind of that Greek life is not something that can be defined in one stereotype, or can, I would argue, not defined in one person. So I'm really, really happy we're re-examining this as looking at it as three separate positions for truly three separate organizations representing a way of life on this campus that is very proper. And I hope we consider that in future discussion.
Thank you, Representative Katie. Representative Overton?
Can,
You want to respond?
I was just going to say, can I motion to vote?
There's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? There's been a dissent. Representative Eisman, do you mind stating why?
Can you dissent, though? Because I didn't motion by unanimous consent.
Can you repeat that?
Can he dissent? Because I didn't motion by unanimous consent. It was just a motion to vote.
Okay, there's been a motion. Yeah, okay. Great, and you can just, yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Carson.
Point of information to Carson, if people are still looking to talk, isn't a vote to end debate required before you can actually vote on, like, the resolution itself? So right now, the vote happening needs 2/3.
Awesome. Thank you both. So is there a motion to end debate? Great. All those in favor, please raise your flag. That's 16. All those against? To 16 to, oh, Payne, you also raise your flag, Payne? No, okay, great. That's four. Sorry, I missed you. So to 16 to 4 to 1, that is 2/3, so the debate ended. Thanks, everyone. So now, is there a motion to vote on the?
Motion to vote.
Is there a second? Great, thank you. All those in favor, please raise your flags. All those against. That's 6. So 15 to 6 to 1. Majority wins, so it's been passed. Thank you so much, President Ngonye. Great. Also, welcome VP Lombardi to the SA meeting. Great to have you. Now, moving on to the next resolution.
That's also mine. We're just doing the charter update. Okay, we tabled this because it's a charter amendment. Nothing was changed to the charter except the date and year. So I would highly, oh, I can actually do it. motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Awesome. Is there a dissent? Great, it passes. Thank you, President Ngonye. And then, okay, great. I'll pass the chair privileges back to President Ngonye.
Now we are seeing resolution number 22. The co-sponsors of the resolution cannot take the floor. Also, since 22 is not in the packet, everyone can take out your laptop. how this looks there. And it's on the screen. Thank you, Patrick. The floor is yours.
Hello. Okay. So we discussed this at our last meeting, and then we tabled it. But it seemed like people were in favor of it. So all this does is dissolves the Research and Accountability Committee and creates the Office of Ethics in order to maintain accountability measures on the Student Assembly. We've already discussed it at length, so I'll let Lucas say his thoughts.
Yeah, a little bit disjointed from the resolution itself, but just a general comment. I think us as an assembly with this kind of research and accountability thing missed a good opportunity with the restructuring of the code. Looking back through some documents from the past, at one point there was a university court system that the student assembly had proposed. There's a really comprehensive document. Would be happy to share it with anyone who's interested. But it was not liked by the president much at all. But it would have accomplished the same thing that we just did in this last code cycle. So that's more of just like a general comment that hopefully we're more astute as an assembly in the future when these conversations are going on at the university level, so that we can relate them to our student assembly problems as well.
Representative Eisman.
I'd like to motion to pass by unanimous consent.
We have a second. Do I have any dissent to that? Perfect. Congratulations. Your resolution passes by unanimous consent. Okay. Now we will be seeing. We had an additional amendment. Yeah, the resolution on consent.
Hi everyone, resolution 29, hopefully you're at your laptops and can start to take a look at it. So this is a internal policy, changing the standing rules. We've already done that once tonight. And I guess starting from the beginning, a consent agenda, if you're not familiar with like municipal government and things like that, they love consent agendas. It's a way to have a bunch of things on your agenda, but not have to vote on them all individually. Thank you to the Chimes also for giving me a good backdrop. But anyway, so I am proposing in this resolution that we implement a consent agenda as part of our agenda process. And the main reason for that is I would like to see our agendas also incorporate any responses that we receive on resolutions that we convey to the president. I think that's something that is missing from our student assembly process, right? So we have these conversations, we pass a resolution, it's forwarded on to the president, but then we never really have an opportunity as an assembly to sit down together and be like, hey, President Pollack hated this, you know, what went wrong or something like that. So the reason for this consent agenda is really to make sure that we have space where all of these responses from President Pollack and others, sometimes VP Lombardi might respond, so that they're in our agenda as they come in and we receive them, we're looking at them. So essentially it's creating a new rule. See, I added rule 14, just the header that was missing, so that was a little thing. But then rule 15 is what we'd be creating in the standing rules. And it just kind of outlines a few things. As I said, it would allow us to also have our minutes encompassed in that. That's typically how a municipal government will do it. They'll have their approval of the minutes and then anything else. So like in this case, I'm hoping that any kind of correspondences we receive from President Pollack are also in that. So we can do that all in one vote. So if it's 10 things, if it's one thing, if it's 40 things, it's all just one vote to approve. I know we tend to have a lot of things that we like to change on or in our minutes. So I also just included a line in there saying that we can change anything. That's a little bit atypical for what you'd see with a consent agenda in some format, so we have that in there. And the other big thing is, if for some reason, since the agenda setting is at the discretion of the executive vice president, if for some reason something's in there that you don't think should be, and you'd like to have fuller discussion on it, any member can say, hey, I want to pull that out of the consent agenda. There is no discussion on it. It's all it takes is one person, and you can pull something out, and then it can be moved on to the full agenda. So, yeah, that's the gist of it. Hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. Consent agenda, again, really popular in the municipal government realm of things. And I think it would be really beneficial for community members and us to have that reflection on any kind of correspondences we receive from administration to our resolution.
Thank you, Representative Smith. I'd like to commend this resolution. I think it makes total sense. I actually just have a procedural question for you. Did this resolution go through a committee?
It did not. So that was the process at the beginning where I asked for it to be on the agenda. So we took a vote, right? So 2/3, anything can be added to the agenda day of by a 2/3 vote. So I assume that was kind of a unanimous consent. It was added.
Perfect. Thank you. Representative Katie.
First, I'd like to just say thank you, Lucas, for all your work on this. I think, once again, your commitment to the Student Assembly shown very, very well, and I appreciate all the work you've gone into this. First, I'd like to bring up that I believe this is going to need to be tabled, as it is a change to the standing rules, correct?
Incorrect.
I'm sorry, that's my bad. In that case, I would suggest if possible, that any SA members who feel comfortable, if you're comfortable with it, have some sort of avenue to reach out to you to kind of get further clarification on this process. I think you are an incredibly intelligent member when it comes to a lot of these procedural things. And I can only speak for myself, but I can say that sometimes it gets a little confusing. Would you be willing to kind of like put forth some sort of, you know, communication network for that, whether it's email or phone or however your best reach?
Of course, yeah. And would that table the resolution today? Does that make sense? I'm in favor of tabling, certainly. So,
was that a motion to table?
That is a motion to table.
You have a second?
Okay. I would like to hear Representative Bansall's statement before we table this.
I withdraw my.
Representative Vonta.
Hi, Representative Pat. Oh, sorry, I'll skip that. So, can I motion to strike lines 34 to 39? Only because I'm failing to see the purpose of it, especially if you consider the committees that already exist where people or the committee chair holds each member accountable already to their work. I really don't see the purpose of me getting a weekly report.
Yeah, I'd be completely fine with that. So the only, I guess that might even be a friendly amendment that doesn't take approval from the assembly. It's just missing a rule 14. That's the only thing I changed. So it's one of those little things, right, that we'd like to make sure our numbers go. So if there was, it says there was no rule 14 currently, so that's why I put that. So happy to strike that if that's something the Office of Assemblies can just kind of add, because it's a, I guess, a detail, a minor detail, but.
Of order, did Representative Bansall, did you make a official motion? Then I would like to second that motion.
Representative Williams.
So I'm just slightly confused. I thought Lucas was saying that what's in black 34 to 39 was already in the bylaws except for the word rule 14. So we're just striking something additionally from the bylaws. Okay, thank you.
It's keeping the resolution focused, which I appreciate.
Representative Mullen.
Do we have a second?
Yeah, sorry, that was a point of information. We're in voting. So all those in favor of the resolution?
Motion to table. The table.
Amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your placards. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, that amendment passes with a 20 to 0 to 1. We can go back and see. Motion table, do we have a second? Perfect. Any dissent to that? Oh, we have a dissent. You can voice your dissent.
Yeah, I don't mind tabling, but I think this is pretty self-explanatory. It makes sense to me. I think that, you know, like Duncan recommended, we can certainly have a process where we, you know, like you walk us through how to do it, but to actually just add these rules, I think makes perfect sense. And so if you want a table, it's completely up to you, but I think we could do this now. This is really necessary.
I guess I do appreciate that as well, and that reminds me, I guess I forgot I had added this last finally resolved clause stating that this the consent agenda would take effect 2 weeks from the passage of this amendment. So essentially it's got a 2 week lag. So I did forget about that in explaining this.
I retract my second from the motion.
Representative Katie.
Yeah, I probably should have clarified with that. I was not suggesting we table it. We merely communicate with you. And so based on that, I'd like the motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Do we have any dissent? Amazing. Congratulations. Your resolution passes. Thank you so much to all of our visitors. We're now in executive session. Thanks, Patrick. Thank you, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.